I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught. Find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle. And then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks of the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd. Today I have with me Rivka. How are you, Rivka?
I'm doing excellent.
Awesome.
There's a little bit of blue sky peeking out of through my window. So
fantastic. Take what you can get this time of year.
That's
right.
That's right.
Do you have any invitations you would like to update us on?
I don't know that I have big updates. Still continuing the things that the Lord is saying to me as I'm praying and listening for different answers. So I'm starting my second page of notes on that, which is good. And and also working to, well, I don't know how to say that. Prioritizing my reading of the Book of Mormon. And that has been going great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, you know, no one's perfect, but I think things are, I feel good about how things are going. How's that? I'm trying my best.
I love it. That sounds great. I am working on the same things, and the Book of Mormon reading is going very well. I had forgotten how much I missed the Book of Mormon. It's good to dive back into it. The recording revelation is not going as well. I need to make a more dedicated effort to that, to set aside the time. I had been doing okay at setting aside the time. Now I need to re-up that. So I'm going to sort of adjust my focus there. Because I don't want to add the Book of Mormon and then lose focus of recording things. So
you're making some procedural adjustments. Is that what you're saying?
I absolutely am.
Under the Lord's direction and an answer to your prayers.
Yes. Oh, just the best quote of all time.
Yeah, I've actually made a lock screen picture that has those words on it now on my phone, so I can pull it up at any time.
I love it. Yep. So wonderful, Burke.
And the words are on top of a sunset picture from the top of Mount Washington.
Fantastic. I feel like we need a screenshot of that for our Instagram page, Burke.
I will send it to you.
Oh, just so good. I have got to get one of those like fancy calligraphy prints of that and hang it in my office.
Yeah. The quote being, under the Lord's direction and an answer to our prayers, recent procedural adjustments have been made.
Yes. Yes. And as if we have not quoted it enough, that was from the Temple and Spiritual Foundation talk by President Nelson, right?
Yes.
So wonderful. Well, Burke, what are you working on? Any procedural adjustments you've made or any invitations you've been focused on?
I've been doing a lot of praying and a lot of attempting procedural adjustments. And I will say in response to some things in my life, the prayer I've been saying a lot this week is Elder Iring's prayer that works. That is to say, what do you want me to do? So
yeah,
I've gotten some very clear no's and not a lot of clear yeses.
There you go.
But as far as the invitations I'm working on, let's just say I continue to require improvement. And so I was really hoping you wouldn't ask, but.
You did try to divert me with the picture and I took the bait, but then I refocused.
You did. I was hoping we could just gloss over and you wouldn't ask me. So accountability.
Well, it's hard. You know, I loved that prayer the first time he said, here is a prayer that works. And the longer I've said it, the more I've realized how hard that prayer actually is. Like, you can't just throw it out there willy-nilly. Like, you really need to have the humility and the sincerity of like, no, I really do want to do what you want, even if it's not what I want. And that is tough. Yeah. So hard.
Yeah, it's way easier to say the prayer than it is to deal with the reality of what is the thing he wants me to do is something I don't want to do, and I've just said I'll do it.
Yeah.
And having to follow through.
Yeah. You know how it says in the Bible Dictionary that, you know, our church Bible Dictionary, that prayer is a form of work?
Yes.
And about, you know, bringing your will into alignment with the will of the Lord.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
that prayer is like the epitome of that. You know, it's spiritual work of like, okay, I'm giving up my will and putting it in line with yours. Tell me what to do and I'll do it no matter what. Whew, yeah. That is tough. All right. Well, keep at it, Burke.
I will.
It should take approximately the rest of your life to get it down. Yeah. So,
yep.
And then probably some divine intervention.
Indeed.
For all of us, that wasn't a call out for you specifically.
No, that's okay. No. It can be specific to me. I'm all right with that.
That's for all of us.
No, I meant that as a generalized truth for all of humanity. All right. Well, Rivka, let's start with you today. What was the fundamental? Sorry, I didn't even introduce it. See, you did distract me, Burke.
Yay.
It worked, but not the way you wanted. The talk we're going to discuss today is called Building a Life Resistant to the Adversary by Elder George F. Zabalos of the 70. And I got to say, when I opened the talk, I did not recognize his face at all. But as soon as I started reading, I vividly remembered the talk. So I don't know if I was half asleep and only had auditory processing at the time of the talk or what was going on, but I was like, who's this guy? I've never seen him. I didn't recognize his name. And then the talk, I was like, oh, I totally love this talk. What happened? But Rivka, tell me what you pulled out of this talk as your fundamental doctrine.
So this is another one of those talks where there's not like a golden line in here that is a fundamental doctrine for me, but there's more of like the message that I think I needed to get from this talk. So that's my fundamental thing. Is it's not a, well, sure. I mean, it probably is a doctrine, but it's really like the fundamental message for Rivka from this talk was, it comes from this paragraph, but the idea is I received some, some instructive clarification about what a happy life should really be defined as, and, you know, kind of like a reality check for our expectations when we're talking about a happy life. And it comes from this paragraph, kind of mid-talk, where he says, "How blessed we are to count on a knowledge of the plan of salvation created by our Heavenly Father, to have the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, and to rely on the inspired direction of living prophets. All the former constitute the divinely designed plans and technical specifications that teach us clearly how to construct happy lives, lives that are resistant to sin, resistant to temptation, resistant to attacks from Satan, who is desperately seeking to frustrate our eternal destiny to be together with our Heavenly Father and with our beloved families." And I think what was instructive in that for me is that it doesn't say lives that are free from sin or free from temptation or free from attacks from Satan. But I think very often we think that's what a happy life would look like. But he talks quite a bit in this talk about the fact that we're going to have cracks and we're going to have issues. So temptations are going to come. And there are times we're going to fall prey to those temptations, and sins are going to be a part of our experience here. And Satan is absolutely going to constantly be attacking everything that we love and hold dear and trying to infiltrate our homes and our lives with his wickedness. And that the happy life is lived through the enabling power of Jesus Christ so that we can weather the storms. And when temptations and sin comes, we have the opportunity to repent immediately, so we're not bearing the burdens of the consequences of the sin. And he strengthens us to deal with the attacks that come, rather than to always avoid them. So for me, the fundamental idea of this talk was, this is what a happy life looks like in mortality.
Amen. I love it. And it was such a great idea. I think you really encapsulated it well, Rivka. Fantastic. If I might add, just to sort of reframing from someone with just enough psychology training in medical school to be of no use to anyone.
Excellent.
We as humans tend to focus on the negative, right? That's our negativity bias. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned this before, but I learned in a class with Deanna that it takes 4 or 5 positive interactions to sort of counteract one negative one. Mm-hmm. So as I read through his talk, I was thinking, you know, he's talking about resistant, which is a sort of a new word in the gospel for me. But I love how it fits nicely into that framework of something the gospel does for you as you try to walk the covenant path is to resist some of these negative, things that come in such a way that they are minimized, right? So we're all going to have cracks, but we don't break, or the foundation doesn't completely get destroyed. The cracks appear, but we resist collapsing, that sort of thing. So decreasing the size of the valleys means that we don't need lots of high highs or lots of tall peaks if our valleys are smaller. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And perhaps that's just my life experience. I don't know. And so maybe it's not broadly applicable to everyone, but I do think that smoothing out the lows goes a long way to being happy. You don't have to be euphoric all the time to be happy. You can just avoid lots of bad stuff, and that helps you to be happy by avoiding that negativity bias. So,
yeah. You know, something else that occurred to me as you were talking about the 4 or 5 positives for every negative is that if we're defining these negative experiences as things where we're being tempted or where we sin or we're being confronted with all the yuck we don't want to be confronted with all the time that comes from wicked ideologies and teachings, that then our 4 to 5 positive things, what a blessing it is that we have all of these things that Heavenly Father asks us to do, like read our scriptures every day and say prayers more than once a day, and to have gospel discussions and to find ways to share the gospel in normal and natural ways and to serve people, because all of those would be positives. And we need so many of those. And so, I don't know, as you were talking about it, I just thought, what a blessing that he gives us so very many opportunities to have positive spiritual experiences to counteract the negative spiritual experiences we have.
I love it. That's a great way to frame it, Rivka. And if I can just keep going on one more tangent, when I talk with people about who to call to a certain calling in the ward, the first thing that most people say is, I'm not sure if it, will be too much for them, or I don't know if it's going to be too big of a burden or whatever. And I am frequently thinking to myself, and sometimes I say it out loud, depending on the situation, you know, isn't serving the Lord supposed to be a blessing to us? And yes, it takes effort and time sometimes, but serving the Lord less doesn't usually provide, you know, in that economy of heaven, that's really not going to be a net positive in your life. So anyway, it's sort of a pet peeve of mine. So maybe I'm a little irrational about it. I don't know, but and certainly there are situations where callings are burdens and an adjustment does need to be made, right? Mm-hmm. But the default shouldn't be that serving in a calling is hard and a burden, and you're only doing it out of great self-sacrifice, right? That we there's so much you just said, you know, that's one of the opportunities we have is to serve others. And that's one of those positive things. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that was a lot on one thing. So we're halfway through our time and we get to talk to Burke now again. So Burke, thanks for waiting.
Well, I really enjoy that you both put this great optimistic, you know, positive viewpoint on the talk. It's fantastic. I love it. I personally was feeling more of a call to repentance, so I'm just going to wade into that here. So he's talking about building buildings that are seismic resistant. And he says, the engineer makes the calculations that indicate the dimensions, qualities, and characteristics of the foundations, columns, beams, concrete slabs, and other structural elements being designed. These results are translated into plans and technical specifications. And so I view that part as like the work that God has done. And then just beneath that, he says, which must be strictly followed by the builder in order for the work to materialize and thus fulfill the purpose for which it was designed and is being built. And in that respect, we are the builders. And so it was funny because I was reading, I was like, man, that sounds like a lot of work doing all that calculations and preparing everything. And I get to the part, I was like, oh, that's the part God did. He did the hard work. Now we just have to follow the guidelines. And not just follow the guidelines, but strictly follow the guidelines. So,
yeah. Thank you for that perspective. I walked right over the word strictly when I read it. I appreciate that.
But I do enjoy the fact that he has given me the opportunity to be a builder of a life, and has piled on top of that responsibility of being a builder of a family as well. So I embrace the opportunity, but oh man, the strictly part. Yeah. Strictly part's weighing on me.
Very nice. I did not think about that. I like that perspective. So what do we do if you're thinking about following the Lord's plans and you're just feeling convicted that you're not following them strictly enough to be resistant?
You might feel from the next paragraph where he says that you're, beginning to acquire a deeper, more complete understanding of the vital importance that this concept would be present in the structures that I would design in my future professional life. So you begin to feel that weight. And then he follows up in the next paragraph by saying, how blessed we are to count on a knowledge of the plan of salvation created by our Heavenly Father, to have restored the gospel of Jesus Christ and to rely on the inspired direction of living prophets. All the former constitute the divinely designed plans and the technical specifications that teach us clearly how to construct happy lives, lives that are resistant to sin, resistant to temptation, resistant to attacks from Satan. So that wraps right back around all the optimistic, wonderful stuff that you and Rivka talked about.
Yeah. I like that, Burke. It gives that paragraph more meaning to start off with that, the part that you read. So that really fleshed out the fundamental doctrine and tied it together. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I just looked up the word strictly because of course.
Of course.
And the first couple of definitions are kind of what I was thinking. I mean, you know, what we think of in a way that involves rigid enforcement or that demands obedience, used to indicate that one is applying words or rules exactly, with no exceptions, completely or absolutely. But I love this fourth one. It says no more than purely. And that's beautiful, right? To do it purely. Without adding to. His gospel is a complete one. We can just live it as purely with the help of the Savior.
Fantastic. Right in sandwiched in between those two paragraphs, Burke, there was a sentence where he used the word edification in a way that I loved. He was talking about designing his future professional life. And he says, not only that, but even more important, that it would be permanently present in the edification of my own life and in those over whom I might exercise a positive influence. So
yeah,
I love that dual meaning of edification there that he's talking about, just the spiritual side and the construction of our testimony. So I just thought I'd point that out.
Yeah.
Well, the fundamental doctrine for me was not so much a broadly applicable fundamental doctrine. It's just something I've been thinking about. And so that's why it stood out to me. So it was sort of a personal prophetic epistle, as Elder Holland would say.
Ooh, nice.
And he goes, and it's down a few more paragraphs, and he's talking about Christ fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The paragraph after that, he says, in the second place, in the account of the temptations to which the Savior was submitted, we see that he always answered Satan, having scriptures in his mind, quoting them, and applying them at the right moment. Now, I feel like I do an adequate job of understanding what the scriptures are teaching and applying principles, but I have long felt like I needed to have more specific scriptural knowledge that I could apply in the right moment rather than general scripture knowledge. So, for example, someone might say, well, I feel really upset about doing this thing and I want to be forgiven. Well, it's pretty easy to say like, oh, the Lord will forgive you, right? If you repent. But then to have a few scriptures that I can easily reference at the very least, if not have them memorized, you know, off the top of my head, I think would be just a wonderful thing. So I had actually already made this decision, but this talk reinforced the decision. So in January, I'm going to start trying to keep up with what the seminary kids are studying, and I'm going to try to memorize the doctrinal mastery passages.
Oh, nice.
And they don't actually currently memorize them. They sort of learn the principle and know where to find it and that sort of thing. But I really do want to have it memorized. And I don't believe anyone in the bishopric listens to the podcast. So this might still be a surprise for them, but I'm going to invite them to join me in memorizing these each week. So surprise, if you're listening, it won't be a surprise in a few weeks when I unveil it at bishopric meeting. And I think that'll just be something, you know, I'm such a concrete like thinker, just to have that solid thing of like, oh, in this scripture, it says the following, that's what I'm shooting for. So it just reinforced something that I already felt prompted to do. So that was the fundamental personal doctrine that I took away from this. So. Okay. And it goes with our last talk because in a way I'm doing that because like he said, that's what the Savior did. You know, he had the scriptures ready at hand at all times. So, okay, I think we are back to Rivka. So let's do the following. Maybe we'll each just pick one more quote from here that we want to talk about, and then we'll move on to invitations and promises. So Rivka, what do you think? What was another quote that you wanted to highlight?
I don't know. Should I do it in order? I feel like there are a few, but maybe I'll just pick the first one in order of how they come and talk. So,
okay.
He talks about, the earthquakes leave marks on structures, and that can be comparable to our lives, that the buffeting of the adversary can also cause cracks. And he says, but what is truly relevant is that for having followed the divinely designed plans and specifications, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are still standing after whatever earthquakes come, is what he, you know, in our lives, that's what he's saying. Then he says, the structure of our lives has not been demolished because of the adversary's efforts or for difficult situations that we have had to face. Rather, we are ready to move forward. The joy promised in the scriptures as the purpose of our existence should not be understood to mean that we will have no difficulties or sorrows, that we will have no cracks as consequences of temptations or adversity or from the actual trials of our life. This joy has to do with Nephi's perspective on life when he said, having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored with the Lord in all my days. And then he goes on to talk about all the difficulties that Nephi experienced. And he counts all of that. He felt highly favored through all of his really difficult things in his life. And that comes, like, we can feel that way too if we hold to the gospel and we've built that foundation as we weather life.
Awesome. Thank you. I love it. Burke, how about you? What was the next thing you had that stuck out?
Well, the interesting thing, and this goes right along with what Rivka just said, and she actually talked about earthquake leaving its mark on buildings, but he actually said the event of an earthquake leaves its mark even on structures that were correctly designed and built. Mm-hmm. Mm. So even if we're strictly adhering to the guidelines, I think we need to remember that we may still develop cracks. We're still going to get hit by hard things in this life, and there's going to be times when we feel like maybe we didn't deserve it. And we probably didn't necessarily deserve it, but that is part of the plan and part of why all the stuff Rivka just said actually works. But just remember, it's not your fault. You can do your very best and life can still be difficult. So,
yeah, but I love what he said. You know, the building won't be demolished. Yep. So I think that's what his like overarching principle here is. This is going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. It's going to leave a mark. But we won't be demolished if we've built up that resistance. So I love it. Okay, let's go on to our invitations and promises. So Rivka, how about you? What was your invitation and promise that you that really stood out to you here?
He said, Ammon reminds us of the words of the Lord, go and bear with patience thine afflictions, and I will give unto you success. And I love that scripture because it reminds me that the success that I hope for out of my time here in mortality and my progression in eternity is going to come from him. And so what he's asking me to do is just bear with what is going on, because I'm being refined and formed and shaped into who I will be in eternity. And then he will provide that resurrected perfection for me.
I love it. And I think you already explained this, but just for clarity, what does success mean?
Well, for me, I mean that there are lots of little successes I want, but I think for me and for people who are striving to become celestial beings and become what our heavenly parents are, that is it. That we will meet the qualifications and be blessed with the capacity to be eternal beings who go forth and eternally progress and do our work through the eternities.
I love it. Thank you. It's a lot different from the world's version of success.
For sure. And sometimes, for sure frustrating, because it is not a level of success we'll see in this life. So it's a lot of hopeful eggs in a basket in the next life.
The basket of hope. I love it. Moses, right? Yep. In the basket. Great. Burke, how about you? What invitations and promises did you see here?
He said, I pray that we may continue to build our lives following the plans and technical specifications of the divine design authored by our Father and achieved through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the blessing is, because of the grace that reaches us through the atonement of our Savior, we will be successful in constructing a life resistant to sin, resistant to temptation, and strengthened to endure the sad, difficult times in our lives.
I love it. I think we've been talking about that the whole time, and he just gave like the perfect recap of the whole point of his talk right there. Yeah. It's really one big invitation and one big promise. So I loved it. And of course, the one that stuck out to me was the one I already mentioned. So I'm going to try to memorize more scriptures. And it seems like, I don't know, it almost seems silly to say it out loud, like, hey, that's what I'm going to do. But I want to treasure up the words of eternal life. So I don't even remember what he promised, but that's the invitation that stuck out to me. So
beautiful.
Excellent. Well, that was a great talk. And I hope that every time he talks in general conference, he talks about building buildings. Then he can be the building guy along with Elder Uchtdorf's airplane guy. So The next talk we're going to discuss is called The Doctrine of Belonging by Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us on social media at Words of the Prophets Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. So thanks everyone for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.